welcome to the Vertical Shift Podcast, where we engage in candid conversation about life topics and real issues from a Christian perspective. I'm Tommy.
I'm not Justin. I'm Jeff.
Let's get started.
Justin, where are you?
I think we're going to have to change the name of the podcast.
To the Lumpy Rug.
Yes.
Justin, if you hear this and you do not come back in 3 weeks, we're changing it to the Lumpy Rug. So my wife's convinced that the Lumpy Rug would have been amazing.
Well, it still can be.
I know. Justin, you hear
nobody's,
this?
Nobody's stolen it yet, I don't think. Nobody's taken that name. It's a surprise,
though. It's a surprise. Justin would be like, obvious. But it's a surprise.
I thought about that the other day. How are we going to bring up that name again? Like, man, you just said it straight up, but I was going to just say it like in the middle of some theology.
It's so good. All right.
It is good.
So I wanted to start off. So my daughter currently took a field trip with her middle school girls basketball team.
Okay.
To go watch an SEC women's basketball
game. Which is
game.
The only conference really in the country.
Agreed. Yeah. At Ole Miss.
Ooh.
Not my favorite, but that's a cool experience. Anyway, so she's there and experiencing that. And it made me think back to like funny bloopers, things that happened to me while playing basketball.
Oh, Sunbeam.
Sunbeam. So when I was a senior in high school, my cousin, same age, was on the yearbook staff.
Okay.
And she was like, Jeff, I need to get some basketball pictures. Mm-hmm. Let me get a picture of you for the yearbook. And I was like, yeah. What about one of me dunking?
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Dunking for me was about 1 out of 10 chances of it going in.
Like, why do you miss a dunk?
Because I couldn't palm the ball. My hands were too small. So I had to jump high enough and get it just right to figure it out. So, and if you barely get the ball over the rim, it just doesn't look cool, right? So I was like, easy. I got a plan. I grabbed a folding chair out. And so
jump off the folding
chair. Jump off the folding chair, jam it. So my cousin, she was like underneath the goal looking up ready. I took off from half court, hit that folding chair.
Whew. Oh,
it slid. And I mean, I was probably 8 feet in the air, but flat. And just.
Did she snap the picture?
Bam, hit the ground. She probably laughed. No kidding. 10 minutes. Like, she couldn't open her eyes. She was laughing so hard at me.
If she would have snapped that picture, that would have been all time greatest picture.
I wonder if she, I never saw it.
If you were floating in the air completely like horizontal.
Yeah. I mean,
that's right.
It
horizontal.
Hurt.
Yes.
Yeah. It hurt. Really bad. Well, and she laughed and laughed and laughed. I was like, all right, plan B. How do we do this where I don't get injured? Shot turned out cool, but you know, it was a lot
not
of
that shot.
Not that one. That was rough. And all for the yearbook shot.
So you didn't think through that when you were like running this momentum, this little metal folding chair.
Remember how we talked in the last episode about how we think we were more mature than our kids were at 18. And I thought running full speed and jumping off a metal
chair. Yeah, you thought that was going to work.
On a gym floor. It was going
to. It would have worked if you would have just got on. Like, why would you have to run? So let's talk about this real quick. What was going through your mind? Like, the chair is probably, what, 2 feet, 1.5 feet? I don't know.
I don't know.
And you're, what, 6'3"? I don't know.
6'2".
Okay.
And
I mean, you couldn't just stand on the chair.
I just really wanted to be high above it, like, oh, jam, you know.
But I can usually jump higher from just like a half step jump instead of running full speed and then jumping. It's more about technique and, yeah.
Well, for me, at that stage in life, I had to run full speed, jump off one leg in order to dunk.
Really?
I just did, yeah. So
you couldn't box out and then just bam, bam, bam.
No, I couldn't. That wasn't until college.
Okay.
I could do that in college.
You played college. Like, you have to be decent to play college.
But I was a shooting guard.
Oh.
I stayed behind the three-point line.
Yeah.
Most of the time. Anyway. So, yeah, that was my.
Sunbeam for three.
Sunbeam. Like, the whole staff would shout it, man. It was pretty cool.
Did y'all have an announcer in the arena you played in?
Arena. It was a glorified high school gym. But, yes, there were a couple of.
Was this D2? D3.
I don't think there was
a NCAA.
I don't think it was a D.
Was this NCAA?
I don't even remember what
community college. What is this?
It was community college. NAIA, is that right? I don't know. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
But we played some schools that were legit, and they had legit gyms, and it was intimidating for sure. There's something to say about the student, you know, crowd that's there. Mm-hmm. Man, they would sit right behind our bench. It was brutal. But yeah, our coach was a black man, and he had these glasses, old school glasses with the chain.
Oh yeah,
that hung down.
Oh,
you know, like went those. Around his neck. And this one particular school called him Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers. Mr. Rogers didn't have no chain on his glasses.
That was really funny. Oh man, but yeah, they were pretty mean. They were brutal.
So, does your daughter take after you in basketball skills?
She takes after both my wife and I.
Your wife has Aaron basketball
played,
skills?
She played basketball in high school. She was known as the Charles Barkley of fouling out in a game.
What?
She would grab the rebound, stick those elbows out, and twist back and forth, and she would foul out
most of the time.
Yeah. But we're both very competitive and want to win and love sports, and particularly basketball was super fun for us. So since my daughter is playing it, she's played all these different things, competitive gymnastics and soccer and all the other things. And basketball's, man, it was so fun to watch.
Basketball is my first love, and I was pretty good at it. I played in high school, but I just stopped growing. But my kids didn't really pick up. Like, yeah. I mean, we have a basketball goal in our backyard.
Yeah.
But, no, Marley wants to play. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, she's 14 now. She really hasn't been playing. Right. I was like, oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, but I don't have the coordination. Like,
I didn't play on a legit, like, organized team until high school. I didn't, yeah. You know, but it was a different time, too.
But I grew up playing basketball on the street with friends. So it wasn't like that wasn't the first time you ever played basketball.
Agreed.
I mean, I lived in a kind of a rough inner city, low income area of Memphis.
Nutbush.
Thank you. And this is 100% truth. We had a milk crate that we cut the bottom out of and nailed it to a tree. And the basketball would barely fit in the milk crate. And we had no backboard. I mean, the tree was the backboard. Like, so when you shoot and you're raining that, like, that's pure shot making skills right there. And I got to where I could be pretty good at that shot. So when I got to a real goal, you're like, dude, this is easy.
Right. Right.
But I quit growing. But so my kid. So
what grade did you stop growing? Third.
Wow. I could read the board over there. It was some kind of smack right there. Anyway.
Sorry about that. I had to.
But so I played basketball all the time, and it came. You know, I was coordinated, dribble, shoot. But my kids, they don't really. Mason played basketball the city leagues and I coached.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he wasn't the best player. Sure. Marley has played. Marley was riding horses and playing volleyball. She's really good at volleyball.
Right.
Now she kind of wants to play basketball. I'm like, I just don't know if you got it. Like,
sure. But this is one that you can let her just. This is one where you can let her fail if she. Go out, try it.
But she was like, oh, if I'm not the best, I'm not going to do it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, she knows if she's not good.
Right.
You know, but.
But she doesn't know that starting at 14, she's not going to be the best.
Do these people know we're recording?
Oh, man. That's white noise, bro. That's white noise. Yeah.
Anyway.
So clearly, I didn't put the studio sign up that's live, you know, recording, but, you know, whatever.
All right.
So. Let's talk about a really cool thing that I got to do with my daughter that I just loved it. I thought it was really neat. And one of the things that we did was... Tommy, go tell them.
Okay.
Guys, we're going to handle this noise and just get them, Tommy. Get them. We'll see what happens here. He's heading out. So... He just gave him the look. Oh, man. Did you get him? Oh, you see? He didn't even have to say anything. That's what I'm talking about, Tommy. Intimidation.
They just walked out there and they looked at me and they left.
All right. So here's what I did. I knew my daughter was going to turn 13.
Well, of course you did.
Okay. And I wanted to do something really kind of like a coming of age, something special for her. 13 was a big deal. And so I planned a big event. So her mom took her out in the morning, and they just did mother-daughter things. And then when she came back home, we got dressed, and we went out to eat. So I didn't tell her where we were going, what we were doing, any of the things. So what I did was I set out, and I went through my computer, and I found all these pictures of when she was like 3, 4, 5. Mm-hmm. Most of them, obviously, you know, in Colombia when we were there as missionaries and stuff. And so just looking at all these sweet pictures, her hugging me, giving me a kiss on the cheek and dancing with me and all these different things and, you know, just different opportunities. And so anyway, I print those out. I make a collage of a lot of different pictures. It was probably like 20-something pages of pictures. And so I went and printed those out, and then we set out. And so as we went out, I went to a place called Texas de Brazil, which is a churrascaria. And so at this churrascaria, my daughter had never been there before. So she was all dressed in her dress. I was in my suit with a bow tie, and we walked in and she said,
"You did rock it."
We did rock it. We walked in and she said, "Dad, I feel like a celebrity right
now." Wow.
Yeah. She had never been to a restaurant like that. So at a churrascaria, if you don't know what Texas de Brazil is.
Wait.
Churrascaria. Say it.
Churrascaria.
Close enough. You go in and they bring around skewers of meat, all different types, chicken, beef, and they ask you if you want some of them. They'll slice it off and you can get as much as you want. You have this little circle sticker. One side's red, one side's green. Green's up. They'll bring it. Red means leave me alone. And they have this huge salad bar and all the different fixings.
I never turned mine on red.
Yeah, we had to at one point because it was just annoying. I didn't have enough spots on my plate. So anyway, so we're eating and enjoying it, and she is loving it, right? And so it's like a little candlelit table and all this stuff. And then so she was like, "Dad, what is this manila envelope you have? Can I have it now?" I was like, "All right." So we had eaten for a little while. So I gave it to her, and on the front of it, it said to my baby girl, "Happy 13th birthday." It said, "Trust him and trust us. We love you the most."
Trust who?
Trust him.
No, and who?
Us.
Who?
Us.
Can you spell that?
Us.
Is it U-Z? Okay.
Nobody says us.
Yes, they do. That's the word.
Everybody
That's
says little... us. Trust us.
Oh, my goodness.
So anyway, trust him. Trust us. We love you the most. And so she opens up the manila envelope, and it's got all these collages of pictures, and she starts to tear up, you know, just getting emotional, thinking about all the things and all the experiences we've had. And we have a really special relationship. And so after she looked through all of them and stuff, and I said, "Listen," I said, "no matter how old you get, in your mom and I's eyes, you will always be this little girl. And I want you to see what we see when we see you. I know you're 13, you're growing up, but to us, you're always our little baby girl. Mm. I just want you to trust God and trust us." She said, "I promise." I said, "You promise?" She said, "I promise." So I pulled out a ring that I got her, and it was a little promise ring that had, it looked like a knot, you know, where you would make a promise. And I just ultimately gave it to her, and I wanted her to feel overwhelmingly special and treasured, because I wanted her to know how much her mom and I love her, but more than that, how much God loves her.
Yeah.
The plan he has for her. And I just said, "Listen, the world's going to try to pull you in so many different directions and tempt you with so many different things, that I want you to remember this date. I want you to know that how you're supposed to be treated and respected and loved and taken care of and thought of. But I want you to remember, you know, this is what it's supposed to be like. This is how you're supposed to be treated. And don't let anything compromise that."
Mm-hmm.
And because, as we all know, at 13, you see things one way. And then as you get older, well, that was when I was 13. But I wanted it to be so special that she remembers it forever as a moment that, you know, I really planned all this stuff out and wanted her to know, just know beyond a shadow of a doubt how much. I mean, she cried, and it was really funny because, you know, she held up her hand with the ring on, and I took pictures and all the different things. And I know there were some people at some other tables looking at us going, did that creepy old man just propose to the little girl? You know, and
yeah. No, it's just a promise ring.
It's just a promise ring. It's just a back up, guys. But no, it was really, really sweet. We went out after that and just took pictures at different places. And she has always, since she was 4 years old, loved daddy-daughter dance, all the things like that. And so she just treasures that and loves it. I played our song, which is, if you need a good tearjerker,
sing some of it.
No, that's a whole different type of crying. Shane and Shane, my favorite group, does a song called The One You Need, and they have a video that goes with it that will just like melt your heart. Mm-hmm. Basically, it's the premise of it is like, I want to be the one you need, but I'm going to let you down. Mm-hmm. But there's one, if you trust him, he will never let you down. He's the one you need. And it's the whole point of the dad's role is to point her to God. Mm. And it's just such a good, and that's one that we've danced to on our birthdays and different things. And so played that, let her watch the video. She cried. And anyway, it was just a really, really sweet moment. And I wanted her to know how treasured she was. And, you know, one of the things I think that really is a side effect from loving my daughter well is it really impacts my wife, whose dad didn't remember her birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, you joke about that, but there's a lot of dads that aren't present, aren't active.
I didn't joke about that.
Yeah, you did. I said she was.
I remembered she was.
You're like, I hope so. Well, there's some that don't, you know. And my wife's dad was one of those that just missed her birthday, and it's just hurtful things like that. And so when I love my daughter, it really ministers to my wife as well, and it ministers to my mother-in-law, you know, who wanted that for her daughter and didn't get it. So it's just a ripple effect that happens when dads love their daughters.
So now do you have to top this every year?
No.
Like, so 14, what are you gonna?
No.
Oh, okay.
This was coming of age, being a teenager, all that goes with that.
I'm just checking to see if it's got to be. You don't have to top it every year.
No. I think the thing that ultimately I want to come out of that is for her to talk to me.
Yeah.
And when one day, way down the road, when she decides to date, that she will care about our opinion of this young man because she knows we want what's best for her. We want her to be happy, you know, but we want her to find somebody that loves the Lord and loves her. And so. Did it, man.
Well, that's good, man. That sounds really good.
It was awesome. It really, really was. It was a really sweet time. And golly, I love it. And it's really funny, you know, taking her on a date like that. I didn't realize how much like her mom she's become already. Mm. And
she's funny.
Funny, silly. I mean, we got there, you know, and she'd never been to a place that had fancy napkins like that, you know, all folded up. And she took it and it looked like a little crown and she put it on her head. And I was like, you're just like your mom. Mm-hmm. And then she made a beak out of it, you know, and just stuff like that. But I don't know. It's so weird, man. That 13-year-old age is so weird because they're still so young and yet they look grown, you know, and so.
Well, you're telling me mine's 14.
I know.
And we're going through the emotional stage. So all of the stuff that you were just talking about is all great and fine, but the reality is it's not always like that.
No, it's not. Very quickly, they can remember or forget the date and forget all that. But yeah, I don't know. Girls, you know, I've got 4 boys and 1 girl right in the middle. And she's my athlete. And I don't know. We just have such a fun relationship. It's really neat. But there is that whole, emotional side of things, mm-hmm. the drama. I told my wife one day, I was like, I can't do this emotional roller coaster ride. It's too dizzying for me. Because, I mean, in one evening, not one day, one evening, she went from crying, praying over a friend to being mad about potentially not getting a part in a play to excited because she got the part in the play. Like, I mean, I'm talking like within an hour. And I was just like, oh my goodness.
Whew. Well, I'm
going to bed.
Wait until they're upset and they don't know why.
Well, yeah. I mean,
hey, why are you crying? I don't know. Like, okay. This happened? No. Did it? No. No. Like,
I just don't know. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. That's hard.
You know, what I love about my daughter is she is, well, number one, she's funny. Like, she is legit funny. Now, sometimes, I'm going to say this. She pushes the envelope,
yeah,
the line, and it's funny, but right. It's almost like you're getting close to this line.
Funny / disrespectful.
You know, I mean, it's just there's a line there that she really tiptoes sometimes, yeah, on her humor.
Yeah.
In the, what is it? It's in the spirit of her humor.
Hmm.
As she gets a little older, she tries to get closer and closer to that line. But she also is very adventurous. She wants to go hunting. She wants to do other things, outdoor stuff, and which I love. I want her to experience those things. And so we get to do that. So
what's one thing, like, I know that we did the Chick-fil-A daddy-daughter date night. Wow.
Who did? Who did the Chick-fil-A daddy? You and your daughter?
Yeah.
Oh, I was.
Have you done anything like that with Marley?
I mean, yes.
We did the daddy-daughter dance.
We did.
At the school with our kiddos. Yeah, that's what we did together.
We went together.
I thought we did the Chick-fil-A thing, but no, we did the daddy-daughter dance.
We did that together. We also took our daughters to the zoo.
Dude, Tommy can dance, bro.
No, I can't dance.
I know. I was trying to be nice.
No, nobody's going to believe that. But we took our daughters to the zoo, too. Remember that? You don't remember that?
That was the Chick-fil-A thing. That's what I'm talking about.
You said the dance.
I said the Chick-fil-A thing.
You said
that's at the zoo, but we did the daddy-daughter dance.
Yes.
Right?
Okay, yeah. I don't know what Chick-fil-A thing you're talking about.
That's the zoo.
Okay. I remember
Chick-fil-A
going to the
does
zoo.
That. Remember we got Chick-fil-A
with the crystals. With the crystals.
That's right. That was gross.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was gross.
No, I meant the whole thing was fun.
Oh, yes. So what's something like that you do with your daughter? What's something special about y'all's relationship? Go.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were talking like to people to reflect. You know, like I said, my daughter is really into the outdoor stuff. That, like, she wants to be a part of learning how to shoot a gun. She wants to be a part of going on a hunting trip. So I took her on a deer hunting trip this year. Her and I got to go, and we had a couple of big deers like come really close to us. And she was funny. She got nervous and kind of made some noise on the first one, and the deer heard and ran away. And so it was a good lesson. And hey, you know, we got to be real quiet. And she got a chance to do that. So that was a lot of fun. And we went, I included her, like last week we talked about the goose hunt. She was there. I sat next to her during that trip. And I was like, you bored? She's like, yeah. Cause you know, we didn't kill anything, but but it was still fun. I mean, for her to be there, and even though she was bored, you know, that's a good lesson too. That I talked to her about. It's like, hey, it's not always gonna be fun and exciting. Like, you know, there's patience. We're learning patience and all this too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now, you know, I took my daughter every daddy daughter dance we had. Of course, she's outgrown now. I mean, when you get to whatever age.
I think that's why I made the 13 too a big deal, was, you know, we didn't have that anymore as an option. And anyway, I just wanted her to know going forward. Kind of,
you know, and my daughter's been, we've really tried to support her as much as we can, you know, financially speaking, of the things that she wants to do.
Yeah.
And she really, really wanted to learn how to ride a horse. And we went through that stage, and end up getting a horse, and she participated in horse shows and won a bunch of awards with that. And that helped all of those things are helping her instill courage in her, and because she's going out there having to do it on her own.
Right.
And I see in her more courage than I had when I was her age. She's not intimidated or afraid of change.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that, she...
Well, everybody's experience is different, too. Yours was different than hers.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
We talked about that. So.
Yeah, for sure. But I like that, though, about seeing that in her, that she's not afraid of that.
I told my daughter, too, I was like, she's athletic and loves all the things. And I was like, listen, at the end of the day, I could care less how many trophies you have.
Yeah.
The thing that makes me most proud is your character that shines through in all this. Mm-hmm. Win or lose, you're congratulating other people, other teammates, and the ones that are crying and devastated, you're building them up, reminding them of who they are and that they're good and shake it off and all that. I love to see that in you. Like, that's the most important. So just building that value in them. And, I was reading in Psalm 144:12, it says, our daughters will be like pillars carved to adorn a palace. Mm. And when you think of a daughter that hears and heeds wisdom and advice and their character shines through, like, man, it's just such a proud thing for a dad, just to have them and to see them love the Lord and grow in their faith and all that. So, man, it's just, there's nothing like it. So I love being a girl dad for sure. I love my boys too. Don't get me wrong, but she's my only girl.
It's definitely different. I love it too. I mean, I tell Marley all the time, you're my favorite daughter.
Right. Yeah, we do that too.
I'm your only daughter.
I don't know. At the end of it all, I want each of my children to know, number one, who they are in Christ, their value, their participation in a bigger story than themselves. And number one, that their mom and I are their biggest cheerleaders and supporters, and we want to see them thrive. Like, just listen to us, man. We want this for you. I think so many times kids are like, you just don't want me to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, or no, that's not it at all. You're not ready yet. Or you're thinking about things wrong. Those things aren't important. Here's what's really important and valuable. And just trying to get them to see those things. And that's hard. We didn't see it at that age either, but trying to help them to be better than we were and have those conversations now. So anyway, I just think all those things are really cool. And I don't know. My daughter's 13 and she's 5'9". No,
what?
Five seven. And she still crawls in my lap, in my chair. She just wants to still be daddy's little girl, which is pretty cool.
It might change when she turns 14.
It might change. Yeah. It might change tomorrow. But anyway.
Well, I'll just say this too. If people are listening and they might say, hey, I wish I had that relationship with my daughter, and I don't. It's not too late. And then they say, well, how do I do that? I think you just sit them down and be honest and say, talk to them.
Take them on a date.
Say, hey, listen, I've had a desire to do this, and I haven't been, haven't done it, but I want it.
But hear me. If you do this, follow through.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There's nothing more devastating than empty promises. I've seen it devastate my wife. Mm. So have a plan. And follow through with it. Get you some accountability to make sure that you do. But don't go in there and say, you're going to be different now, and this is how it's going to be. And then you go right back to the old ways.
Right.
Man, that's so damaging.
And I would also just caution you, too, that it might not be as easy. If there is any animosity there, understand there could be some
kickback.
Yeah.
And yeah, don't let that trust.
Don't let that, though, say, well, then forget it or whatever.
Yeah.
You
should expect that. You've messed up. So go make things right and just know that initially you may not get I forgive you. It might be, I'm going to wait and see.
It's going to be consistency. It's going to require consistency.
Yeah, absolutely. But to your point, it's never too late, to say you're sorry.
Yep.
Hey, is that a song? Anyway.
It's never too late. No, I don't know.
That was good. All right. Well, listen, guys, regardless of where you're at in the parenting world, go grab your kids and tell them you love them. Remind them who they are in Christ. Remind them that you are for them. And, man, just hug their necks while you can.
Hey, before you hit the button.
I'm hitting it.
No, don't hit it.
Hurry.
What do we got coming up on the podcast? We've got some cool stuff coming up.
Hit us. What is it?
I'm asking you.
How are you going to say we got cool stuff and you don't know what it is?
No, I know what it is. I just wanted to hear from you. Like, what do you think is cool? Like, we have Chris coming up.
Chris Yeager. We're trying to clear his
first
schedule
and
up.
Last name.
Well, yeah, okay, dude, we ain't playing. Chris Yeager's coming. He's going to talk about some mental health stuff.
So Chris is, if people remember, we had Jessica on, his wife, and they had the boy that they adopted late in life. And you can go back and listen to Jessica's story. And Chris, obviously, her husband.
Yeah.
He is a psychologist.
Getting his doctorate.
Man, crazy. Smart guy.
Yeah.
He's a really cool guy, too.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to have him on because we want to talk about just the different aspects of mental health. Men and children and families, wives.
Yeah. Biblical counseling in general.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's going to be good.
Yeah. So he's coming up. We got our new student pastor.
So let me tell you about the student pastor.
Felipe is what I call
so
him.
So the guy is, you know what? I'm not going to give it away. I'm not going to say anything about his history or background. He's a cool guy.
He might be here before Chris, just because Chris has got a busier schedule right now. We might be able to throw Philip on them.
So since we're saying names... Philip Nathan. I mean, that's like two first names. I'm hoping this guy's middle name is Stephen. Because then what do you get? You get what was Philip?
I'm hoping it's a last name. That would be even cooler.
Well, I was saying because Philip was a disciple.
Okay. All right, guys, we got to wrap this up. But listen, Tommy.
Nathan.
I know the story behind his last name. You're going to be blown away.
Nathan.
It's awesome.
Who was he in the Bible? Nathan. He was somebody. He did something.
Nathan. Was
Bible trivia
King David's friend?
Might as well be Stephen. I mean, come on,
it's not.
No, you know his middle name?
I do. Oh. Anyway, super cool story.
Why are you in a hurry?
Because it's past time, bro.
Time for what?
People are tired of hearing your voice. I mean, my voice because I've been talking more. Anyway, love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Love your kiddos. Love them well. Bye, guys.
Bye.